I can't wait to try this coffee. My friend Ben just, we were working on music yesterday, and he was like, oh, I got you Vagabond Roasting Company. It smells so nice.
I first met Haley Reinhart at Hotel Cafe in Hollywood. So pre-pandemic, there used to be this really fun thing I would go to called the Hoot Nanny. And if I'm remembering right, it was so long ago now. Hoot Nanny was Monday nights at the end of the month, and how it worked was different artists would go up and perform a couple of songs with the house Hoot Nanny band. It was a really great way to see a lot of different singers and be introduced to different artists all on one night. I actually had a couple of friends that always played with the Hoot Nanny band, so it was always just a really fun way to reconnect with some of my music friends. Anyway, one night I got to see Haley sing, and obviously she was very memorable, and we had some mutual friends, so I got to meet her and chat with her a little bit later on in the evening.
I love this new coffee bean grinder I got. It's from Fellow, and it's just like, does such a good job, and it looks so pretty on my camera too.
Since then, of course, I've dug into her music and connected with her a little bit on social media. Haley just has such a beautiful, unique, classic voice and carries herself with so much grace. And I also just love her style and the way she dresses. So I was really excited that she agreed to be on the podcast because I had been wanting to connect with Haley and learn more about her. On today's episode, we get into her very musical family. We chat about other creative projects and acting projects she's involved with right now. And of course, we get into her time on American Idol. But as always, you know, coffee comes first here. And we started out the conversation with Haley explaining her morning mushroom coffee beverage.
I'm going to go with the space mug today. Give me space. I don't know, it makes me really happy. My favorite mug. That is pretty dang good. It's really yummy. All right, time to get going.
You said you had a special coffee that you were going to drink today. Do you have it with you? Or?
Yeah, I do. I didn't forget. I got my little teacup.
Oh my gosh, it's so pretty.
Really fun. I think it has French on it. I'm not sure.
I love it. It's like a little matching tea and saucer.
My cousin in Chicago gave it to me. It's adorable. I'm kind of like low-key obsessed with tea sets, and I hope that I can just have a full-on collection one day. but this is the start of it. Anyway, this brand is called Four Sigmatic. It's really cool stuff. So one of my favorite ones is Lion's Mane. That's what I'm drinking now. And it's basically like a half a cup of coffee mixed with mushrooms. So people get really excited, and it's not like the really fun kind.
You're not just like high first thing in the morning, like having hallucination.
But Lion's Mane is like particularly good for brain function, and all kinds of different mushrooms are like so beneficial for your health. So there's like chaga, and they also mix like chaga with the half a cup of coffee, and chaga is good for your immune system, and there's cordyceps that are really good for you. Basically, mushrooms are like super, super essential for our bodies, and not everybody knows, like, well, really how connected we are. We like share 60% of the same DNA as a mushroom, which is kind of a wild fact that I discovered through this company. So I probably should be sponsored by them by now.
Yeah, maybe they're listening. She needs a sponsorship.
Because, you know, it's a little pricey sometimes, and it's worth it, though. I can't drink too much coffee because I'll get pretty jittery, so the half a cup mixed with this is like kind of the perfect little recipe for me.
And when you make it, is it just, I've seen those before, is it just like hot water and you mix it together, and do you add anything, or you just?
Yeah, I put like oat milk in it along with that, but even drinking it straight, it has like a super rich smooth kind of flavor to it. So you really don't need much. I can drink it without anything. But yeah, it's just a little packet and you put in your teacup and pour some hot water.
So I imagine before quarantine, you were pretty busy. Like, didn't you have a big tour planned? And have you developed any sort of like morning routine?
Yeah, so I was going to go do a tour in the U.S. and Europe. I was really excited to get back to Europe because it's been a couple years at least for me. I was going to bring my sister with and we would, you know, paint the town.
Is your sister a musician too?
She is. She's a super sweet, really angelic, kind of like yourself. She's like 5 years younger than me, does it pretty much full time in Chicago and teaches voice lessons. And so anytime I can like drag her out here or on the road, same with my family, we're all a band of musicians, so we've grew up just in a house of music that way.
Yeah. So you were gonna go on tour, and then do you remember like at what point it was sort of like, oh no, now I'm staying in LA, or were you stuck somewhere else and then flew back to LA, or what was like?
I was literally about to hit the road, so it was to that point where I was in Mexico doing a gig. And I came back, my dad actually reached out first and he's like, honey, I don't want to be, you know, the one to even break this to you, but I don't know if you're going to be able to get out there and do it this time. Like, this is what's happening. Because we were really kind of in our own bubble in Mexico. And, you know, certain interesting things, terrible things were happening. Like, there was that tornado in Nashville and so many things were like going on. But we still weren't quite aware of, you know, how like crazy this would turn out to be and what was really happening. So he's like, I'm not sure you're gonna be able to. And I was like, oh dad, like I hope you're wrong. And then my agent called like the same day and I was like, holy crap, like this is actually really serious. And I never anticipated it to obviously be this long, but I am super grateful that I have a roof over my head, a really nice like peaceful sanctuary for me and my boo and our dog, and it's been a blessing, and I really feel for everybody out there who isn't as fortunate, and you know, that it's just, these are crazy times right now. Nobody's ever seen something like this, so.
Yeah, I was saying, I think right before we were recording that, like, you have such a nice space, and you were saying that you try to make the whole house like that. Have you always been like that, or, like, especially now during quarantine?
Well, I've been out here grinding, you know, in LA, so I've been saving up. I bought my first house. It's been, like, a couple years now. I basically, you know, I held out. I can do well with conserving, so I was in my one-bedroom apartment and just saving, grinding, and I had so much crap just in my, that, you know, one bedroom. I have a whole bedroom, like, closet now. That's just how many clothes I have. I just, you know, accumulated all these things from the road, and I finally have a place. It's fit perfectly because this house is kind of quirky. It has, like, a vibe between, like, ranchy and Victorian and, like, boho. So, like, everything is just kind of, like, blending in, thankfully.
You find a place for everything, like, depending. I mean, I'm guessing you're still, even if you're keeping busy, you're still just home every day, like, waking up in the same bed, which is quite different from tour. And, yeah, do you guys have, like, a certain way you start the day, or is just every day kind of random, or?
I'm, like, kind of that person that really doesn't like routine. Okay. So it has been interesting to find rituals before going on stage, because that would probably be one of the only times where I'd like my solitude as part of my ritual, you know, make the hot toddy or the tea and honey, whatever it is, and, you know, just go through my checklist. But now it's, I do, like, I have my coffee and I also love celery juice. I'm on that kick right now.
It's supposed to be really good for your skin too, right?
I mean, skin, bone health, it's like detoxifies your body from heavy metals, which is huge for especially our generation. It's a miracle if you look up all of the benefits that there are. So I've been on that kick. I've wanted to not look at my phone right away, you know. I have all kinds of emails because I am my own CEO of my own ship and company now. So, like, I'm just like, I could be doing a 9-to-5 just on my phone every day, and I do that a lot. I want to continue to go out into nature because those are the times when really I can just get grounded, you know. And we have done that a lot and taken some desert trips and
Oh, that's nice. Just with your boyfriend and then...
Sometimes, yeah. And I had a birthday get together with our closest of friends and, you know, really, really special moments together that I'll remember forever. And honestly, like, I really don't usually have this kind of time to do those sort of things.
Yeah, I mean, you have to find some kind of positive things out of this. And I do think if you're on the road usually, or like you said, just every day is different and you don't get to see your friends, like... being like, okay, well, there is a positive thing out of that, and that's getting to like really indulge in, you know, a trip with my friends, or like being home and like decorating my house instead of like going off to play a show. Or
I'm sure it's the same for you too, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time where I like wake up in the same bed for like this many months in a row. I mean, there's been times when I haven't liked it and I've been like, I gotta get out of here, I gotta go to the airport or whatever. But starting to see the benefits, like just in my energy, I guess, in a certain way. The world is heavy right now, and that sort of can drain your energy in a certain way. I see the benefits of just like having, like going to sleep at the same time every night and things like that, that I definitely did not have before, you know? But what about like music and writing? Has that sort of creeped its way back in?
I haven't written in a while. I think I'm kind of like holding out till a breaking point. Well, I actually did write a song yesterday, and I think that's kind of the beginning for me to just really like go inward and write on my own. All the songs, you know, four albums, like I've written and co-written everything but one, my first single. But, you know, it's important to me to be a part of that process always, but at the same rate, I've never really taken the time to explore and experiment and just dive into my own thoughts alone, because I normally always write the lyric and melody to these songs and I collaborate on the production side. But it's still going to be such a different thing when you're completely solo. So up until now, like, I've really done a lot of deeper soul searching within myself and others around me, and I've just kind of taken a backseat and as the observer. I feel like I'm learning a lot in 1 year's time, and I just turned 30, so there's a whole lot of stuff said around Saturn in return, and there's just like a lot of maybe internal growth that can happen at this time, and I am all for evolving every step along the way. So
yeah,
basically, yes, I am releasing a lot of stuff and I'm doing a lot of different projects right now, but I also want to like take that time to take a deeper look into what it is that I want to say right now.
What are some of the things during this quarantine you like learned about yourself that you didn't know before?
Just being a grounded person in general is really important to me. I feel like I am completely comfortable in my communication with everybody. It's harder to get me shaken up. I'm kind of just like at that point where I've always kind of felt like I'm a seer, like one of those people that's like super empathic. At this point, like, I'm taking more time to answer things and just to like make sure that it feels right. And I've always gone on intuition, but like it's kind of to that next level. And I realize like taking time and allowing yourself space before making big decisions, we owe ourselves that much. And I think it's really important to slow down, just like everything has, whether we liked it or not, it's happening. So
I really connect with that. I feel like over the last couple of weeks, certain things have amped up a little bit. I don't know if it's like, well, now we're living with COVID, so let's just, you know, now let's dive into whatever work we were putting off. And I've been like trying to resist taking back on the sort of way I approach things before the pandemic, like maybe a little bit more with a little more anxiety. And like, you know, like now if I have a fuller day, I'm like, no, I want to take what I've learned of just like really enjoying the fact that I get to do something today, rather than it being like, okay, I got to like mark it off the list and be ready for the next thing. And like wherever I am is fine, you know, with the learning the song or the lines or whatever, you know.
Yeah, there's the urgency is not there as much. Like, I mean, it's important, and like I know like you're a boss lady and those things are all important and we're gonna get things done, but things do not have to be done immediately.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're realizing which things actually have to be done immediately and which things, oh, you can take your time and like indulge and enjoy them and not make them like something, like especially when it comes to like making art and music, and those are something you should really take your time and enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this life is meant to be enjoyed thoroughly. So I'm hoping that beyond myself, that, you know, my family, friends, and everybody out there can find some kind of solace in these times of, and just like be able to connect deeper with themselves and realize those things to take away anxiety. Cause I'm right there with you. Like
yeah.
There could be subconscious anxieties that it was just habitual to you at the time. And it's like, why, for what, you know?
I'm curious about one thing you said earlier about like you're the CEO of your own, your business and your music. Maybe we start wherever you want.
It's cool. I grew up singing with my parents' band. So that was just kind of this like embedded nature and world of music. So it's just like, it's all I knew I always wanted to do. So after Idol, they hook you up with a full team. So management, lawyer, business manager, agent, the whole nine.
And they just picked that for you, or you were going on meetings and kind of...
Yeah, it was almost felt like a blind date, like speed dating scenario where I had my folks with me, and we would meet a whole bunch of different ones in one day, to the point where I fell asleep on the table by the last person. That being said, you know, like I actually, the only remaining team players that I have the same lawyers. All I know is I can always depend on myself. I don't make moves that I know I would regret. And if I, you know, operate on that level always and just kind of go with that gut, yeah, it's led me here. And I really don't have any regrets, even if my life has been like this, but it's all about balance between having everything, having a much smaller team, having just me, like whatever it is, I have to find that balance.
I can imagine like Idol was a pretty intense experience. And are there things from that time that you find still help you as a performer now?
Yeah. I always look to the positive, you know, like I'm a super optimistic person. And even like through the trials and tribulations of things, like it's only added some layers of skin. It's enabled me to be able to deal with this monster of a business sometimes, because it can be that. It's also beautiful and rewarding and worth it, but it's a crazy business. So, but you know, I was thinking about like, I just did this show at Whiskey A Go-Go here in LA. Basically like things happen behind the scenes, you know, something went wrong with sound on stage. So it took us like a whole 2 hours to just try to dial in stuff when it really should have taken really short amount of time normally. So by the end of that, it's like, okay, 5 minutes till show. And I'm like, I haven't even like, you know, looked in the mirror, gone to the restroom, like done the things that I needed to do to like be okay, or checked the screens to see how it looked, like, because now we were using like 3 operated cameras. And so what I thought about after was, wow, like being on Idol, it makes you shift into gears. And when the cameras are rolling, like you're on, you're ready, like there's no second guessing things, and you know how to look into cameras. And so I was grateful for that, because I didn't get to see what the heck I looked like or what was happening or where things were. But it's just kind of like becomes this instinctual thing that prepares you for any kind of camera. Certain things like that pop in my head and I'm like, cool, you know, like I see.
Like they gave you a certain training that's like makes you be like, okay, I have to be on like right now.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm wanting to, like you, get into the silver screen and do more acting and things. And I did just do my first little part role in a new Robert Rodriguez movie.
Oh, congratulations. That is so cool.
Thank you. And so I get to sing a little bit, and I have a little bit of lines here and there. Again, that kind of thing. I haven't had the most training, I'll admit, for acting, and I've done it like as a young kid, and it's something I've always aspired to do, but I'm usually touring or doing my music thing too, so that's taken priority. But again, like this sort of training, like you said, has been really, really beneficial in ways that I didn't really, you know, imagine as a 19-year-old or 20-year-old kid back then.
Yeah, of course. Were there things now you go like, ooh, that wasn't really me, or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's that kind of blessing and a curse, like especially the artists from that show that are still like, you know, pushing forward and doing their thing. I can relate to that because I'm more of an alternative artist. I'm not trying to be suckled into one box. I'm not trying to be the cookie cutter voice. And I don't even care as much about being mainstream as I do about the integrity of the music and who I am. Like, I care more about the whole package of the look, branding wise, the videos attached, the music, what it all means, what it all says. So it's kind of that like blessing and a curse where some people can pigeonhole you because you came from that show and think that you want to be all the first things that I mentioned. And really it's like, no, I had to push my way to be able to play at Lollapalooza and like join other groups and do jazz and rock and pop. It's like, I don't believe in any one way to this game, especially if you want to make a career out of it. Like, you have to utilize all your gifts and just, like, you know, take risks. It's definitely something that's in the back of my head, but I don't let it, I don't use it as a crutch, and I don't let it, like, keep me down, because I use it for good when people, you know, want to talk about the good in it, and otherwise, yeah. I'm like, let's just keep on pushing forward and make people know that there's a lot more to me than that.
The moments where you don't know what is next, how did you deal with them?
Yeah, I mean, all the time. Like, I'm constantly, you know, and I'm not the only one, obviously, but I'm doing projects and something ends. I can get super emotional and, like, feel it on a deep level of, like, wow, this chapter is now closing. Like, I'm so grateful for it. I am sad to see it go. And where do I go from here? And I feel like for me, I feel things really quickly and I can release them just as fast. I'm like a deep feeler, but I can't hang on to those feelings because you could fall into, you know, some slippery slopes, and that's not where I want to be. That's not where I want to go. So I can, you know, like, I just have memories of, you know, filming something in Vienna and leaving on the trip home with my sister and crying on the plane, you know, back, and just thinking how beautiful, and it's like bittersweet, but yet I channeled that feeling and then I released it, like, literally and metaphorically, and then my wheels are like immediately turning and I'm like, okay, what's next? What do I create? Where do I want to go? And I'm just like kind of constantly thinking about the next move, really, and like the bigger picture.
So I've been seeing more of these where you sort of do a show like at Hotel Cafe, but no one's there. It's just the people that have been, or who are filming it and making it look really good. And how is your feeling after that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, that's what we're working with right now. It's a blessing that, like, in this way, I got to have a really great camera crew step in, and then I get to take that material and walk away with that. That's something that normally you don't get. You leave a show, and unless you hire your own camera crew and you're, like, all in, you don't always get to walk away with a full-on performance that has different kind of camera angles and things like that. So that was super cool, and I would totally want to do more. I did virtual meet and greets. That was really cool. It actually worked out well. It was kind of like exactly what we're doing now, except we had, like, you know, 8 people in one window, and then I, like, an hour later did another 8 people. It was, like, really interesting, but we got to almost have more of a communal engagement because we were taking turns and talking together. So it was really interesting. It's all an experiment. I got to sell my merch, which I don't get to do all the time. Like, there was really some cool benefits to this thing. So I definitely want to do more, and I encourage other artists to go out there and try to do it as well, because if this is what we're dealing with, then we have to play on, you know, we have to keep going.
Oh, I did see that you're going to sing at the Miss USA.
Well, first of all, I love Miss USA. I grew up watching these shows with my whole family, and I did pageants as a kid. I only won the talent portion, and that's fine with me. Me and my mom and sister would kind of walk in, and we weren't, like, we weren't the typical, like, you know, she wasn't the typical stage mom. We weren't the pageant kids. We had some edge to us.
How long did you do pageants? Like, how old were you?
I was literally, like, my sister was, like, two. Like, she shouldn't have, I think she was, like, too young and, like, somehow still got in. And she, you know, she looked like a little boy at that time, really little hairs. And, like, we dressed her up like a cowboy. And she got up there and did her thing. And my mom, I remember they called her name. And they're like, Angela Reinhart. And she doesn't come out. And I'm like, Mom. And now I'm, like, probably six, seven, something like that. I'm like, Mom, you have to help her. And she's like, I'm not a stage mom. She's got this. And I'm like, Mom. And they're calling her name. And then all of a sudden she just waltzes out and, like, moons the audience. It was like.
Moons the audience?
Yeah, literally bends over with her, like, fake banjo and, like, a cowboy song's playing. And, like, you know, like, these are memories that I'll never forget. And it's,
oh my God,
as traumatizing as it seemed back then, it was, like, really cool and funny and something that, like, we shared between the three of us women. And it was, like, again, like, kind of something that I took with me probably to Idol, like, subconsciously, you know? Like,
yeah, I was just think there is kind of, like, a pageant-like element to American Idol, you know, just with, you know, like, having to learn the moves. And because in pageants, you usually have to, like, do an opening routine or something, right? You know,
there was some cheese to it, but I really did enjoy it. Like, I didn't, I think cheesy things, as long as you, like, look at it in the way of, like, let's have fun, then, like, that kind of inner conscious thing goes away. It's like, it's kind of like when I watch SNL these days, like, sometimes I'm just like, I wish certain people would just kind of, like, have more fun and not be afraid to be goofy, because, like, what are we doing in this life? So, yeah, that was cool and fun, and my mom would dress me up, so I was already used to, like, doing, like, photo shoots as a kid and all kinds of that stuff. So that when they asked me, I was just like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I tried to make it a live situation and go to Graceland, where Elvis is from, and they want me to do Can't Help Falling in Love. And that's been just a huge anchor in my career at this point. And I owe a lot to Elvis and the writers for that song. So really, they're taking a video that I did online of the song, and they're gonna virtually play it as the women walk in their gowns.
Okay, cool.
So I'm still honored. It's happening either way. I wish I was there, but it is really cool.
Yeah, I was curious if it was a thing where you were going to be, like, kind of live, and then I didn't know.
I'll do a little intro too, but yeah, I hope that we can do it again sometime live and in person. That would be cool.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about your new song with Casey, and also just you guys seem to have a really close friendship. And did you guys both do Postmodern Jukebox?
Yes.
Too?
Is that yes.
Yeah, so I'm curious just about, like, yeah, about you guys' friendship and, yeah, your whole journey with Casey and then now coming out with this song.
Yeah, thanks. We're still, honestly, best friends. He's going to come over to the house and stay over tomorrow. He's kind of been traveling and doing a really cool project that's connected to Idol. And yeah. I'll let him get into that further. But we have pretty much just consistently, like, tried to do things over the years together. Free as a Bird is one of those really kind of, I guess, more obscure Beatles song than I like to admit, because I'm a Beatle freak and I know every single song. But this is one that we always loved and, like, really just, like, pulled at our heartstrings. It's always been kind of underrated. So we wanted to do Free as a Bird, and that was really special to do it from afar. And we would, like, I filmed me laying in the grass in my backyard. He filmed laying in the grass wherever he was at his home. And, like, we just combined it and put us next to each other.
And so you guys did record the song, like, during this time, during, like, COVID. And
Yeah. What a crazy experience. And I'm so grateful that we were able to make it work. Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, like, the way we met was, I saw him on the same commercial for Idol. It was, like, the first kind of promo commercial that they had come out with. And him and I were both in it, where they, like, featured a clip of our audition. That was, like, already, like, you know, we were probably both separately on cloud nine. But I was like, wow, this kid, like, he's got something similar stylistically going on with, like, this bluesy nature. And he's singing, like, I don't need no doctor, like, blues. Playing the melodica, he's goofy. But we didn't even get to really connect until, like, weeks and weeks and weeks later into it, when we were, like, put up at this mansion, like, all 24 of us, I think. And we just, like, kind of bonded over jazz and standards. And he was playing on the grand piano, and The rest is history after that. We still do it.
So what about Postmodern Jukebox? How did you get involved? Was Casey in it at the same time or?
Kind of pretty much the same time, but he introduced me to them because they had a residency at this joint called Hyde on Sunset in LA here. I think it was our sax player friend who's killing the game, Jacob Sesney. He's awesome. I believe he was already doing it, and then he talked to Casey, and Scott was aware of who I was and who Casey was, so they brought me over to Hyde, and I just sat in randomly and did All About the Bass, and like that song was like, I think it was pretty fresh, and we just kind of tore the roof off of the club and like made it super kind of dirty and added some like grungy jazz to it. So after that, literally like a couple days later or so, Scott was like, hey, do you want to go on the road with us and go to Europe? And that was like the first big European tour that they'd done. So it was kind of like we just captured this cool little lightning in a bottle. And yeah. I got to travel the world with my friends all over Europe, and then plenty more tours after that. And we did some crazy videos. It was kind of wild.
Are you listening to anything like really special during this quarantine?
I make a lot of playlists. You know, when I host things or have a few friends over, then I make sure to have the vibe. For me, I'm really super into like Shazamming stuff, and then I make playlists based off of all of these songs that a lot of them I know, a lot of them I don't know, and I just kind of put them all together. And there is, like, for instance, like the first group that's popping in my head, there's this all-girl group called La Luz, like the light in Spanish.
Oh, I don't think I know them.
Yeah, L-A-L-U-Z. And they're, I think they were, might be like SoCal, but they got this like surf Hawaiian meets rock, like this super kind of cool, grungy, yet like really peaceful vibe to their music. So it started when I would be traveling and I'd listen to it on the plane. And it's just one of those things that has like enough edge to it, but it's also like, and really raw, and it's all chicks. So it's just like,
yeah, I love how I have like certain albums that I like to listen to specifically on planes, because for whatever reason, I can like kind of go in and out of sleep listening to them, and they're like just the right. There's this band called Hem. The lead singer is a woman, but the writer is, I don't know how I met him. They have an album specifically called Rabbit Songs, that there's something about it that just like I can listen to. It's like really beautiful lyrics, but it's also calm piano kind of vibe that I can also just like fall asleep to. I'll have to send it to you. I actually feel like you'd really like it. And the girl has a really cool voice. And
playing music is really important. I also always listen to, or oftentimes go back to Rufus Wainwright.
Rufus,
yeah.
His album Poses is like super classic. And it's just so like cinematic. I think I'm always drawn to really cinematic, almost, you know, movie score. Like, yeah, I mean, I have like Tarantino's scores and soundtracks are heavily rotated.
Have you seen True Romance?
No.
Oh my God, you'd love True Romance. The score for that is like really cool and special. And this has been fun to do this podcast, just to like, it's nice to have that time to yourself, introspection and all of that. But it can also, I think sometimes as artists, you can feel a little bit like in a bubble and like a little bit isolated from other artists and things like that. I mean, imagine COVID doesn't exist. Describe like your best coffee date.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna think too hard about it. The first thing that popped in my head is getting together with my mom and like my whole, like all the women on her side of the family. And they're all really spunky Italian women. And I would love to be like in Little Italy right now in Chicago, or in Italy. Okay, I changed my mind.
Yeah, it's your dream coffee day.
Yes.
In Italy.
Take it up a notch, right? Well, because I honestly, like, I've been to Italy. I feel really connected to it. I'm part Italian. So I wish that I could gift a trip, like that to all of my aunts. And I have, you know, on my mom's side, she has 5 other sisters, so there's 6 of them. That would be like something really cool and special. I am dreaming about getting away and like being just able to travel and go to somewhere like Italy again. And I'm also, yeah, I miss the crap out of them. So that would be pretty dreamy right now.
Yeah, so what are you going to sing today?
So I would love to do Can't Help Falling in Love, the Elvis song. It's been kind of really good to me over the years. And what's also sweet is my boyfriend Drew plays it with me a lot. So it's kind of been our one of our songs that we do together that means a whole lot to me. So should I bring him in?
Yes, yeah, for sure.
This is Drew Dolan, amazing artist and musician. Thanks for helping me, babe.
Everybody, thank you.
Play a little bit. Wise men say only fools rush in. Oh, but I can't help falling in love with you. Oh, shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't? Falling in love with you. Oh, like a river flows surely to the sea. Darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my whole life too. Yes, for I can't help falling in love with you. Oh, like a river flows surely to the sea. Darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Won't take my hand, take my whole life too. Yes, for I can't help falling in love with you. Oh, for I can't help falling in love with. Love you, boo.
Yay, that was so good.
Thanks.
Sounds so pretty. Thank you, Drew. Awesome.
One good thing about being stuck in the house and being with your significant other that can also play and sounds amazing.
That's really awesome. All right, well, have a great rest of your day. And
hey, this was really cool. Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed getting to know Haley a little bit better, and I'm sure you enjoyed her song. Now, most recently, Haley can be seen performing in a very popular, fun Netflix movie. It's called We Can Be Heroes. So definitely check it out. It's a great movie and it is very popular right now. I put information about the Netflix movie as well as other things we talked about on the podcast today in the show notes below. Also, don't forget, if you enjoyed this episode, please share with a friend. Rating and reviewing and subscribing really helps out the podcast. Now, just a side note to finish, I actually put out my own new song this week, and I'm so proud of it. So in the show notes, I'm also leaving a link to my new song, 15 Minutes, as well as a link to where you can order my new album, The Supporting Character, and other new album pre-order merchandise goodies. I hope you guys are having a good week. I'm really excited because I'm going to be working on some new music this week with my friend Ben. And I hope you guys also have some creative projects you're excited about as well. Hopefully this podcast served as a little break or a little bit of inspiration. And I'll be back next Tuesday with another really cool guest and more cups of coffee.